しさなんて知らずに過ぎてゆくのに、さっと悲しみに本日は
back to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. That was Yoshimi Iwasaki with Touch. That's actually the opening theme song of this 80s sports anime about baseball called Touch. And it's that one and one of the other ones by the same author is one of the... There's some of the few sports anime manga that I do kind of want to check out because they're like kind of classic in that genre, but also they're, as I understand it, this story is not as much about the sport, and I don't really do sports. I mean, Slam Dunk, watching the Slam Dunk anime has made me want to try watching a basketball game, but I don't even know if I can keep up. Like, in the anime, they break it down for you. It's like a 90s anime, so it's like kind of still, it's very slow and stuff like that. I watched a real WNBA basketball game, because I'm a lesbian, obviously we support women in this house, but also just in general, like even if I were to watch like a high school basketball game, I don't think I'd be able to keep up. I'm just that bad at sports. They have to all be diluted through the realm of anime, and specifically not even about the sports part of the anime. I'm injured. I'm injured and I'm burnt out. I'm angry about capitalism. Because here's the thing, right? So last we left off, before the music break, I was talking about just like how messed up it is that like I have been socialized, and perhaps you have also been socialized. No, you have been socialized, but you are likely, maybe you have undone some of that socialization. A little bit better than I have. We are taught that, like, regardless of our physical or mental condition, we have to be able to give 100% for work. 'Cause work is really important. I mean, like, you get stressed out about work all the time. And I was talking to my therapist about this injury that I sustained, and I was telling her about like this reflection that I had, and she goes, well, you know, Leslie, I'm just really grateful that it wasn't a more serious injury that would require like a longer recovery period, because with all the stuff that you have on your plate right now, like just having that one extra thing, even though recovery looks, you know, slightly different right now and is it's in its own world, its own separate world, with all the stuff that you have going on right now, having another thing is really going to make your life that much harder. And I was like, yes, you know what, this is true, I hear what you're saying, and that is why it is so unfair. Because consider the fact that all people, pretty much all people at some point, are going to become disabled, are going to become likely chronically ill, right? Depending on when you become disabled, what your disability is, that has vast impacts on your ability to work, which in capitalism equals equals the amount of value that you have to society. Just how dehumanizing is that? How inhumane is that? I know a lot of people who are disabled and who rely majorly on income assistance in order to get by, but I also know that for many, I would say most folks who are on income assistance right now because they cannot work due to a disability, like that, the money that they get in the mail that's supposed to, like, you know, help sustain them throughout the month is like barely enough. It's most of the times not enough money to help them push through the entire month. A lot of the times they're spending 80 to 90% of the entire check on rent, and then they have to decide, am I going to pay my bills this month, or are we going to be able to eat meals this month? It just makes me so angry. It just makes me so sad. Like, legitimately, I'm getting emotional thinking about it. To have to live hand to mouth, to have to give up life's pleasures, to have to pick and choose different methods of survival, picking and choosing between basic needs, that is not a life. And capitalism is depriving us of actually living full lives. A lot of disabled people living in Canada are not living full lives because of the way that capitalism and ableism intersect, and because of the way that capitalism completely dehumanizes every single living person on earth who is not essentially like an extremely wealthy person. It's really no wonder why, right? Like, nobody is really mourning Brian Thompson's death. Brian Thompson, who is, of course, the CEO of, what is it called, United Health, or Health United, or whatever it's called, the health insurance company in the U.S., he was the guy who just got murdered in NYC. Not a lot of people are mourning over him. I think probably the only people who are, like, kind of upset, really, are really wealthy people who are also afraid that perhaps their time is also coming soon, and also people who are right-wing reactionaries being like, oh, look at these like disgusting leftists who are praising the killing of this man, when in fact actually most people in America are united on this issue. Not his death, but the fact that people need accessible medical care. They need medical care that's not going to put them into debt. They need medical care that's going to allow them to continue to live life in a dignified way without having to worry about rent and groceries and bills and going into debt. A lot of people are not mourning this guy, not because they're soulless, but because Brian Thompson, as the CEO of this health insurance company that has put people into debt, that is one of the larger parts of the bigger issue of the U.S. having privatized healthcare that legitimately deprives people of their basic right to obtaining medical attention. People aren't mourning over him because he has blood on his hands. You don't, in this world, you don't, in capitalism, that's the weird and funny thing, right? Like, you don't have to be necessarily, you know, this deranged 80s horror movie, hockey mask wearing, knife wielding, walking around the deep forest serial killer to be a mass murderer. In this world, it is more likely that a mass killer, a mass murderer, is actually a politician, is actually a wealthy businessman like Brian Thompson. So nobody's going to feel bad about the fact that he was killed. I mean, it's hard to feel bad because he's killed so many. I want to bring up this like really great Noam Chomsky quote that I saw on the Instagram account Consider the Birds, which obviously I'm into because it's got leftist quotes and also birds. And it's a picture of a great blue heron in flight from underneath the heron. And I gotta say, great blue herons, they're kind of like dinosaurs if you look at them when they're just like perched and like hanging around. But in flight, in this particular angle, like underneath, they're kind of built like human beings, and it's kind of weird. Except, of course, they have wings. Anyways, the quote by Noam Chomsky is, "For the powerful, crimes are those that others commit." And, heck yeah. That is, very applicable to the apparent discourse that needs to happen around Brian Thompson's killing. Anyways, so some basic takeaways here before we move on to the music break. Number one, capitalism is not good. It dehumanizes us into being nothing more than things that help the wealthy become more wealthy. It dehumanizes us and undignifies us by depriving us of the most basic human needs, such as shelter, such as food, such as medical care and attention. It also dehumanizes us by making us believe that we are not worthy of rest. We are not worthy of joy, and it deprives us from those important things that make life worth living. I think, yeah. No thoughts, brain empty right now. I know I'm kind of leaving things on a slightly dark note, but after this music break, I'm going to kick it back up again with some notes of optimism. Because I you know, being paying attention to the news and all of that, I guess, there are some nuggets of excitement and optimism in the world. It does kind of like stoke the fire of my soul in wanting to continue to like, hey, not be so much of a nihilist and be jaded and stuff. But that's gonna come right up after this music break. Here is new stuff by Gong 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 and Meng Tong. Not too late to take revenge.
Wei Wen.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. That was Ombigaze off of their latest record, Shame. The song was called What Was Said. Hope you enjoyed that. My name is Leslie, and as we hit the top of the hour, I know it's been a lot of like darkness and sadness, talking about capitalism and injury and disability and health and all that. I really wanted to highlight this cool little nugget, though, that's happening on the other side of the world, technically on the other side of the ocean, in South Korea. This isn't even really a nugget. This is like a cutlet, almost, you know, like a chicken nugget, but actually it's more like a chicken cutlet, because it's a big thing. As you may know, if you've been tuning into the news recently, last week, South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol enacted martial law and essentially staged a coup on the people of South Korea. Now, martial law only lasted for a few hours, but the Korean people were not having it. Folks have mobilized and have congregated over to, I believe, the National Assembly building, where by the tens of or hundreds of thousands, I believe at the time of recording on Saturday evening, more than a million people have collected over there, demanding for the impeachment of Yoon Suk-yeol. And I think if you're like me, you know, an anti-capitalist, an anti-imperialist, even an intersectional feminist, this is really exciting to pay attention to, especially because this is the expression of resistance by a lot of people. Yoon Suk-yeol's presidency has a lot to do with capitalism and putting profit over people, and also imperialism, particularly U.S. imperialism, and really lining up, cozying up to the actors of U.S. imperialism. If you're interested in learning more about Korean political history, you should check out Noduddol, N-O-D-U-T-D-O-L. They're a collective of diasporic Koreans working towards liberation, resisting against imperialism, and also working towards reunification. They've put out a lot of really interesting resources. And another really interesting person writing who you should check out is YK Hong, who goes by YK Reborn online. They're a cultural worker talking about anti-oppression in tech, and they also happen to be at the scene right now at the National Assembly, so that's pretty cool. Go check out both resources. As an East Asian person living in diaspora, I do also have to express my solidarity with the South Korean peoples right now. I wish you luck. I wish you all of the strength, and may your people be able to see greater and brighter days ahead. So for the final song on today's playlist, this is also technically an expression of solidarity, and I'm playing it because, one, I really love this song. Like, genuinely, I grew up listening to it. The lyrics are really emotional to me. And it's the debut song of one of my legitimate favorite K-pop girl groups of all time. But this song also, like, does things to people. It, like, really shakes them up. It's, like, for example, for, like, queer folks in South Korea, this is like considered kind of like their version of Born This Way, and a lot of other people take it into different directions as well, as like a song about standing up and being who they are and looking forward towards the future. And so it's no wonder that this was also a song that was blasted by the protesters at the National Assembly. I can't wait for you to hear it. You need to look up the lyrics. This final track is Into the New World by Girls' Generation. I've been Leslie here on Typically Tuesdays on 90.1 CJSF. Hope you enjoy. I'll talk to you very soon.